he's my guy now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in so Colin was my guy in game day. And then when Will started X Scars, I was like, well, Colin's your guy now. So like he's his guy. So like any like the bullshit we gotta deal with Colin, I'm like, that's my your guy.
Will and Justin of the band Next Scars, welcome to the Question the Answers podcast. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Andy? How are you?
Good. Yeah, so Will and Justin are members of the band Next Scars, who actually are working with Sell the Heart Records, which I'm really stoked on. We are releasing your guys' full-length debut, Don't Panic, which has already been properly released, but we're still waiting for the vinyl to come out. We're hoping for the end of July to get those in. But man, it's a really great record. I was really stoked to get in touch with you guys. And well, actually, you guys reached out to me by word of mouth from Jeff Dean, who was in the band Heavy Seas. And I thought that was really great that we could kind of, you know, make this kind of work from that word of mouth perspective. But yeah, pleasure to have you guys on the show. What are you guys up to right now?
With the Cobblestone purchase.
Purchase New York. Some beers. It's 25-30 minutes outside of New York City. We practice, our drummer actually, his family owns this place, so we practice in the loft garage across the street, and we have to do that in like 2 hours. So it was just felt like the right place to do it. We filmed our music video here too for Jarring. And this place has been like a home for me. I went to college in this town, so I've been coming here for over 20 years. So
that's tight. I mean, gosh, what a burden to have like a really cool bar right next to your practice spot, right?
Yeah, in the parking lot.
In the parking lot.
Yeah, what are you guys drinking, by the way? Like, what beer?
Yingling.
Yingling.
Ah, nice. East Coast standard, yeah.
The first brewery, Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
That's right. Yeah, so Tsunami Bomb has gone out and played in Philadelphia a few times, and we played at the Kung Fu Necktie. And every time we go there, they give us like a big old case of Yingling, and we're just like, oh, this is great, you know, because I mean, yeah. for being like an older kind of more traditional style beer that's not like full of a bunch of like, you know, it's not like super hoppy or anything like that. It's like a good sturdy beer. Yeah.
Yeah. It was my first really good tasting beer, because other than that, it was Natty Light or Michelob, whatever, or PBR or Peels. Yingling was like, oh, this is a cheap, good beer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Justin, you're kind of a beer guy, right? Like you do like a lot of like the beer tastings, and do you brew your own beer?
Yeah. Yeah. A bunch of my buds work at the Hudson Valley Brewery, and yeah, they got a lot of different breweries go through there and stuff like that. So, you know, we got some good beer stores and Beacon, stuff like that. Good like beer bars. So yeah.
For the video, they actually were cool enough to give us their pills in a blank can, so we wouldn't have to, it wouldn't have like a proper like company on it.
Right.
They were, that's cool. Yeah. Blank cans.
Yeah, that video for the song. So the song Jarring is the lead single that we released from Don't Panic, and yeah, that video is really cool because it's like, you know, you guys, for anyone who hasn't seen it. You guys are kind of biking. Well, you're kind of biking around, and then everyone kind of meets up, and everyone else is on bikes, and then Craig shows up in like his van. But you guys end up playing a live set at the bar, and yeah, it's a great song. It's a really fun video. It's kind of nice little storyline, almost like oh shit, what did I do? Kind of a storyline. You know, I think we'll add it at the end of the podcast. But no, that's cool that there's like so much history tied with that location with the band. And now Purchase, you said is like 30 minutes outside of New York City, right?
Yeah. And it's funny, like, cause like you literally go a half a mile up the road, you're in Greenwich, Connecticut. So it's like, I think that's been like the big selling point, because like SUNY Purchase is like an arts college, and I went to Manhattanville, and it's just like, there, when I remember going here, they're 30 minutes from New York City. And like, and they're like, when they say that though, but you're really 30 minutes from the Bronx, and that's where I live.
Right. But, okay.
You're about like 40-50 minutes to Manhattan proper, but it's yeah, it's great over here. I've had so many different jobs, and I've been at my job 9 years up the road here, and it's just like, this is like another home for me. It's all mansions here now. If I could afford to live here, I think I would.
Right.
It's like close enough to the city, and it's like you're right outside. You're in the middle of like kind of like, it's open over here, you know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't have a ton of experience being out in New York. You know, I've been to New York City a few times, and I've been to like the like upstate area where you know our keyboard player lives. We were talking about this. She lives over in Phoenicia area, but yeah, it's funny to think about like the geographic situation in New York, because New York City is so huge and it sprawls out to, you know, up to the Bronx, even though the Bronx is like its own neighborhood. And within the Bronx, there's like little micro hoods, obviously. But then once you get out of the Bronx and you're no longer in like New York City proper, it still almost feels like you're in New York anyway, right?
Yeah, completely. I live 3 miles from Westchester County. I'm right by the Westchester County border. I live in the Bronx. It's so northeast, and it's like, it's definitely like, I'm in the center of like every highway to get to anywhere. I'm like right by both bridges to Long Island. I'm like right by both bridges to Gulf. Me and Justin used to live, Justin lives in Beacon, but we used to live together in Beacon, New York, which is 45 minutes from here. And like, that's like its own city in itself now, like its own town in itself now. So it's definitely like, you have a lot of different things going on, especially in Phoenicia. There's like, ever since the pandemic, there seems like there's so much more going on further north, like Kingston, Newburgh, you know, everyone from the city left and moved up to those areas because they just wanted to get away.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, you know, because I remember Oubliette was telling us about there was a huge exodus, you know, from the city up into those more remote areas. Did your specific, I mean, well, you live in the Bronx, and Justin, you said you live in Beacon?
Yeah.
Yeah, did the Bronx and Beacon see a huge exodus?
Oh, Beacon was out of control. I just bought a house in Beacon a few months ago, but like we got lucky. Yeah, so fucking... Yeah, all these people were coming up and just buying houses cash. They were, you know, going over the selling price. You know, people would be like in contract and people would just come in and swoop it up fucking because they had more money. And yeah, it was wild. So yeah, I got lucky. Somebody dropped out of the house that we were looking at, and we just came in last minute.
Well, looks like there we go. Yeah, we lost your video for a second. But that's cool. No, I mean, congratulations. I mean, I know that the housing market is just bonkers right now. My wife and I were actually looking to try to move out to the East Coast, and unfortunately things didn't work out. But I think right now we're just kind of holding back, waiting for the market to not be as crazy. But no, I mean, that's rad. I mean, I'd love to know a little bit more about like the history of what brought NextGars together. I mean, it sounds like you guys kind of have a history going back before the band started, but you know, give me just like a short synopsis of like what brought you guys together for this new project.
So me and Craig have been talking about doing a band for quite some time, since me and Justin and Colin were in a band called Game Day Regulars. And me and Craig, since I would come into this bar like every day, we were talking about doing a project together. And there was a time where we actually got together and jammed. And then like with Game Day, it just kind of was left like a little like, we just stopped playing. There was really like, no, we knew what the problems were, but we never talked about it. I just started another band I played another hardcore band called Crippled Urn. Justin plays in Social Standards, Collins in two projects. So we just decided, like, I started writing these songs, and I hit Colin up and he was interested. And I was like, you know, I used to live with Justin, and like, I always liked his guitar playing. So it was like, he was down to come down, you know. Life moved a little differently because we were like playing in that band, and then like next thing you know, we're getting married and we have lives. So it was like they were all committed to like making this work, and they liked the ideas. And then just we started getting to practice, and next thing you know, we recorded a demo, and then we went into Nada, record a full length, and then took it from there. And then it's really like, you know, I'm really grateful to be reunited with these guys, Colin and Justin, and Craig adds a whole another dynamic to the situation with his drumming. So
yeah, so I brought Colin into Game Day Regulars. We needed a bass player, so
he's my guy now though.
Yeah so Colin was my guy in Game Day, and then when Will started NextGars, I was like, well, Colin's your guy now,
he's my guy.
He's his guy. So like any like the bullshit we got to deal with Colin, I'm like, that's my your guy.
I do.
That's your guy. That's your guy. Used totally. To be my guy. Now you're on the
He's with me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the parents like saying like, oh, this is your child, you know, like when
yeah,
out,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and bass players, like, let's face it, you know, but no, I mean, Colin, we love you, dude. No,
he's an only child.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. It's like, he's a bass player and an only child. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And my cycling buddy.
Oh, okay. Right.
Well, we ride hard.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of cycling. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be like something kind of like a theme that you guys have been incorporating with like the band, you know, so within the video for Jarring, you have this whole section where you guys are riding bikes and you know you're dressed in like the actual like racing type of like, you know, real biking gear, and then you know we produce this shirt for you guys that has like the 10 speed or like, you know, the you know road bike. And I mean, is that just something that you guys have been like all doing, you know, with your adult lives?
So here's this. I used to loathe being behind those guys dressed in the bike kits and up here, this is cycling town up here. Mm-hmm. You know, every guy's got like a $5,000 bike in there. And cause I personally used to ride like single speeds or beach cruisers. I love bikes. Me and Colin both love bikes. During the pandemic, I was like, you know what? I want to get really into shape again. I want to get into this. I'm going to buy a road bike. I went to the bike store. Bikes were, there was a shortage. They had a road bike. It was in my price point, and I got like into it. Like I did like a 70 mile ride. Like I'm super into road biking like now. And I'm like, that's like, aside from guitars, that's all I want to buy. And it's really fun. And like, but aside from that, so I was like super into it. And then it was like, the weather was kind of getting better, but that day was so cold and I had to like wear all sorts of gear on top of what I would normally wear. And yeah, we ended up incorporating that into it, and we're like, we all love drinking beers, so it was like, it just made sense. Let's go to Craig's bar and I'll be the fitness guy, and then
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna turn over and become a mess.
Yeah, I guess the idea of the video was that Will was gonna be like, you know, out cycling like for his health, and like me and Colin were supposed to show up with beers and be like, hey man, you know, like how you're trying to stay in shape, yeah, we're actually going to the bar, let's go.
Right Yeah.
Yeah,
and then Craig's supposed to be like the guy that like, it's just like so disappointed at us all, like shows up, he's like, you guys suck, and then right, he like throws us in the van.
Yeah.
Well, and adding that extra context now that like he's actually affiliated with the bar, it's almost just like, guys,
yeah,
come on, you know, like this is my bar, you can't like do this, you know, in my bar.
and Craig also has been Craig has been bartending here since he's for over 20 years now, and he doesn't drink. Like he's not a drinker.
Sure.
So he personally does not like, he can't deal with like crazy, weird, drunk people. So it was okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, and so I know Craig's not here to talk about it, but you know, I'm really intrigued by the history that he has as a professional drummer. Cause like he's played with like some pretty well-known bands that have gone on and done like all sorts of crazy big tours. Like He I know he plays in another band currently that features the saxophone player from Morphine. Like,
yeah, he was also in Dan. He did a couple tours with Dan Vapid and the Cheats.
Right. Yeah.
Cause he's all connected with like Wimpy from the Queers up in Maine. Cause Craig's also got like, he's in several bands in Maine. He was also in Paranoid Social Club. And he's also in a band called The Connection, and he also plays with Kurt Baker from The Leftovers. So he's like, he's as New England as it gets, and his mom's from Maine, so there, that's why he has that kind of,
And like, well, I remember seeing in his Instagram feed him posting, you know, about these old shows that he had done. Like, I guess one of his old bands went on tour with John Entwistle from The Who.
Yeah, Joni's Butterfly.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was like, I mean, Craig has been playing music since 1989.
Okay,
like I started like getting into guitar in like 95, and like 97, I guess I was like sort of able to like be in like a, like, you know, your first punk band.
Sure.
And yeah, and then like, yeah, he's definitely and he's. He's like, music is his thing, man. He went to music. He went to college. He went to Berkeley. He's does a lot of different other stuff. He's a very good drummer.
He's the guy that'll be like, Yeah, you know, I was playing shows with Fugazi, you know, before you were in kindergarten.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely.
You know, it's funny. I've never spoken to him. Does he actually speak like that?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, please let that be the case. Because like,
no.
I kind of want that, like stereotypical, like, New York, you know? It's like, hey, you know, hey, guys, you know? It's like,
No, he's
He's whatchamacallit, done, so there's a venue here called the Capitol Theater, but he, back in the day when we were kids, like the first shows in this era that I went to were a place called Seven Willow Street. And like, it was like, but he was in a band called Plainside, and they opened up for, or Joni's Butterfly lineup. They opened up for like Face to Face on their first, they were like the support
Big Choice
Tour. And stuff like that. And he worked at the Capitol Theater, and the Capitol Theater, I saw in the 90s. That was my first, one of my first like small, like the first show I went to was a Garden, but I saw Bad Religion and Goldfinger there. And then they closed down for many years, and Peter Shapiro, that owns the Brooklyn Bowl, bought that venue, and now it's opening back up again. They have a lot of like the Lemonheads are coming through, and a bunch of really cool bands. It was mostly, they're predominantly like a jam band place, but they've allowed like some really great like other stuff come through, like, you know, Jason Isbell and like Social Distortions played there, Luceros played there. So
Dinosaur Jr. in the small room there.
Yeah, wow, that's been super loud.
Oh, dude, they blew a fucking fuse. The fucking power went out mid solo. It was amazing.
Dude, that band.
And dude, they didn't even mic any of the guitars. They didn't mic like any of that. And the drummer was right in front of the stage, like in front of everything.
Yeah, no fighting the sound guy that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it, dude. Negative Approach play too, right?
Oh yeah, Easy Action, his other band, and they did a bunch of Negative Approach songs like as the encore.
Oh sweet, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean. It's great to know that like some of these venues are still around, you know, because unfortunately that's kind of the way it goes, is like a venue will exist for X number of years and, you know, everyone will come through. But then, I mean, it's really hard to keep a venue afloat, you know, because like, especially if you're trying to do all ages shows, because like all ages shows have like the rules around like, you know, the way you can handle booze and everything. And so, you know, that's why a lot of these clubs don't do all ages shows anymore, because they rely on booze sales and they don't want to have the liability of being caught selling underage. And so
it's 100%.
It's hard. Yeah.
Our dear friend Mike Terry from Jukebox Romantics, actually, he's a bartender at the Capitol at Garcia's, where at the venue we were just talking about. And like I think they're like, he's been working, he told me he's been there on and off for certain things and stuff. I get they're entering reopening, so it's really cool. And I know the community because I work at a restaurant that is 3 miles away. Everyone wants back. Like there's so many people that are like, yeah, like they come to me like, yeah, I saw like the Marcus King band play there. It was like, you know, it was such a great night. And they're like so happy because it's like there's so many like residential neighborhoods in Port Chester. So it's a very easy, and from New York City, the train station's right there.
Right. That's awesome. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about is in relation to your guys' songs from this new album. Well, I mean, everything that you guys have written for Next Cars, it seems to translate really well to acoustic music. Now, is it safe to assume that you wrote the majority of these songs like on an acoustic guitar or?
I'd say about like 60% of them. I know Colin and Justin brought some to the table too. And I know Colin and I are both acoustic players. Like when I do a show that's acoustic with Next Cars, I bring him along because he really enjoys doing it. And he's a really great acoustic player.
I don't even own an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, definitely. That's always been like a thing for me though, to be able to just, I guess like putting bands together was always kind of, sometimes it never worked out or it was always hard to get people to like lock in to do stuff. And then like having an acoustic guitar, you can always do it. Like, even if it's like a show that like you want to do and the band can't do it, but you can do it and they'll throw you on first. And it's just like, so I think that's always been important to, for me to be able to play a set bare bones and stripped down and stuff. And I really do enjoy doing, for a while with the record, I definitely was sending the guys like the vocals and an acoustic so they could hear it better, as opposed to tracking it yelling and loud with like a GarageBand or Logic demo. So I was sending them like this. I'm like, here's the lyrics. And then I'd write out the lyrics for them and be like, yeah, this is it. What do you think? What do you want to change? Anything? Is there anything that you want to do? Cause Next Cars is definitely it's not my project. It's not like my songwriting baby. It's like our project.
Right.
That's how I wanted this band. I didn't want to be like the sole songwriter. I do write the lyrics, but like I wanted everybody's input to be equally of value.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And I'd say in general, it's pretty collaborative, you know, like even if he writes like the bare bones, like I'm not going to play what he's playing. And, you know, I think they started jamming before I even jammed with them, and they sent me Let You Down.
Yeah.
And so they sent me like a demo, and I just fucking threw it in GarageBand, and I wrote all my guitar parts and showed up to the first practice. And fucking, yeah.
And I think since we played in bands together and Craig was already familiar, but he was just like, oh, wow, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm like, yeah, he's been working on it. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
No, that's cool. I mean, with relation to the question, you know, a lot of like punk rock bands, right? When they try to, you know, translate songs to acoustic, it doesn't always fare very well, you know. But
tell me about it.
Yeah, and I mean it's not so much like because the songs are bad. It's just more like, well, I mean, the energy's gone, right? Like yeah. some songs are just meant to be played very fast, very loud on electric guitars with tons of distortion. But like, I thought it was really pretty awesome that I know that you guys have released a couple of songs on acoustic on Spotify, and I've heard a few of the other tracks that have not been released on acoustic, which may or may not see the light of day at some point. But do you think that that's something that you might try to do more of, like as like an accompaniment to anything that you were to do in like a more filled out capacity, like kind of like doing an acoustic version of each track? Like,
well, that's always been like, so I'm a big Armchair Martian fan, Drag the River fan, and Armchair Martian, one thing I loved about them, they would always give like their record, and then sometimes John would throw 12 songs in a four track, and like it would be like, wow, these are the stripped down live versions, and I love that. But I don't know, I definitely I love playing acoustic, and I love like even like adding accompaniment to it, whether it be like a spacey guitar or a pedal steel or even like an accordion or something. But I don't know, I don't think we're there as a band yet. Like, it's just like we put out this is our first proper release with You and Sell the Heart, so we're still like getting our feet wet, and like, you know, like, but we do try, there are acoustic guitars on that, on Don't Panic and 12 string electric, you know, we definitely love those overtones and stuff like that. Me and Colin push for them. Justin's like,
Yeah, I will say this: the production of that record is awesome. Who was it that you worked with again on the production side of things?
John Eclario, not a recording. He's in Montgomery, New York. He used to be in Newburgh. He used to be in a band called Lounge. Back in the day, they were like,
you remember Lounge, right, Andy? Do you?
Can't say that I do.
No. Oh, really? Oh, okay. No. Well, like the Next to Nothing dudes, they were like heavily associated. They would play a lot of shows with them.
I used to see them all the time. I was a fanboy.
Huh.
I used to go to Coney Island High in Manhattan and go see them in Cooter, Autopilot Off.
Yeah. I remember all I remember the time. Cooter. Remember Cooter's the best name ever. I remember Autopilot Off. And then yeah, it's so funny, like Next to Nothing, because those were like my boys back in the day, you know, and it's I think it's so great that the world is this small, you know, that, you know, 20 some odd years later, it's like, somehow it's like, we're bringing it back Next to Nothing, Orange County, New York. You know?
Yeah.
My old band, Your Day Strong, 20 years ago, we, towards the end of our playing, we used to play with Next to Nothing, and they were like, I guess like on the way out too. And we'd play shows with them, and we became like friends with them. They were just like such like sweethearts, and we're like, oh, these guys are awesome. And we're like, we're punk rock dudes, so it was like awesome. These guys sound like Bigwig.
Yeah. I mean, because you know, you have Dan, you got Richie, you got Paul, and you got Mike Hoban, and I can't remember who their other bass player before Mike came in, but yeah, it's just, it's so nice to like know that those guys, you know, just did it for as long as they did. And like, I know Richie's still playing professionally. I think he like moved to like Tennessee or something like that,
In Nashville, and, I think.
Nashville. He's like a pro drummer, like doing like totally pro gigs like all the time. And yeah. I think Dan's like a family man now. I don't know what Paul's really up to, but Hoban lives in like
Paul's shredding. I don't know
what Paul's, wherever he is, he's just shredding.
Always shredding. Yeah. Like seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. And that dude just shredded a Strat like no other. I was, it was, they were always like the best band to see. And like every time, and I've seen them, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen them. They were just always like, it was just, they're so fun. And whenever you heard that song on a comp, it was like, these guys rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like,
very, very fun band. I have some really great memories with those guys. So, but that's cool that there's that connection. Yeah. You know, you guys have actually played a couple of shows, or at least you've played one show since the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how was it? I mean, you know, because we're kind of slowly but surely jumping back in. And I ask, like, how was it with respect to not so much like how did you play? It was more like, how did it feel? Like, was it comfortable? Like, did it seem like it was all good? Like, was there any kind of weirdness involved?
It was outdoors.
Yeah, I think the weirdest part was they stuck us under like a small tent.
A Warped Tour tent.
Yeah, yeah. But like other than that, like it was back to business. It
all
was,
our friends came out. Yeah, we had a good time.
There was nothing like, oh man, I haven't played a show in a while. What's this gonna feel like? You know, it was just like we're setting up, we're playing, we've been practicing for how long? Like that's all shows are, is just to practice in front of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, our good friend Evan Cohen owns the Green Growler in Croton Harmon, and he set it up. He asked us to play, and it just happened to work out on the release date. And people had a good time, and we got to play with our friends, and it was definitely a great first show back. And you know, I definitely we were all like pretty amped to be doing it again. And I played a couple shows with my other band over the course of the last couple months, but like this was really great for us to play together. It was like a minute, so we're really amped this weekend. We have a couple shows with Jukebox Romantics, and so that's something we're pretty pumped on. And we're gonna be playing indoors, which will be, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, it really does seem like, you know, for the most part across the country, and I mean even in other parts of the world, that we're essentially getting back to, you know, the normal business as usual. Like we're gonna have shows, we're gonna open the indoor shows, like we'll have outdoor shows and everything. And you know, I know that different areas are kind of doing different things with the restrictions and everything, but so far it feels like it's working okay, you know, and that there hasn't been like a significant, you know, spike in cases. And even if there is, like, it seems like, not to put people on blast, but it seems like the people that aren't being vaccinated are the ones that are getting sick again, you know? So
yeah, that's 100% what it is. I'm constantly getting alerts now that the number is like going down each week on the transmission rate. So it's been really good. And it's, I guess for all of us, it seems like, you know, we're all vaccinated, but it just puts our mind at ease, you know?
Right. Right.
You know, I just don't, at the end of the day, it's like, we want it. We want it to be like, punk rock's always been a safe space. So it's just, even with that, we just want to keep it like that.
Right.
But yeah. And I definitely, the people who set it up were pretty on board with that. So it's like, so it was really great to, we love Jukebox, Mike and them. So it's going to be, let's have a new lineup now. So it's going to be great to play these shows with them.
Nice. With relation to the record itself, is there any like major themes that you like kind of write about with the music?
I think like in other bands, it was really hard to like really get a lot of traction with, you know, putting out like a full length. It was a really hard thing for me to do, and it's just nothing. So it was definitely this, and like, you know, I definitely had like a lot of like, you know, personal and family struggles, and like a lot of other struggles with people, addiction and relationships. I just felt like this record was the one I needed to put it all on the table. And I don't know, these guys definitely helped me get there with it and stuff like that. And it was a pretty fluid process. And like, now I'm like making music again. Like it's been a minute to actually, so this record definitely, you know, and the response has been really great. And with like our friends and people who have like bought it and stuff. So I definitely feel definitely accomplished, and I definitely have like I'm really like, now I'm like writing a bunch of other stuff, and it's really been a great period. The whole process, even the putting the record together with Sell the Heart has been like an amazing experience. So,
well, yeah, we were able to pump out the songs pretty fast. Like we fucking, it'd be like, we show up to a practice, we work on it. Even if we're like, all right, we're struggling on this one. Like, there was some stuff we were like, all right, this sucks. We'll throw it in the trash. Not a big deal. Like, it's not good enough. But
I didn't think Jarin would see the light of day. We rewrote it like so many times. And like, Justin was really encouraging. He's like, well, it's like, if it doesn't make this one, I'll make the next one. And I love, but I got into like, this needs to be done. And, get out of your head. A lot of it is getting out of your head, and like, that's really what it was.
Yeah, I think that song was, we practiced it maybe two practices.
I never would have thought.
To the studio.
Huh.
Yeah, I never would have thought it was going to be like the most streams in our first single. So,
yeah, I mean, as somebody who genuinely like really likes all the songs on the album, that was certainly the one that kind of stood out, to me. I was just like, dude, this is like a hitter, dude. Like it really hits, And, it's so funny that you mentioned it. It's like, we didn't really spend a ton of like headspace on it. We just kind of like, like we rewrote it a couple times, but ultimately we're just going to push it out there. And sometimes those are the best ones, man. I mean, fuck it. Yeah. Yeah.
The first song on the album, we barely put that together before we had to go into the studio to finish that one. That was another one we're like, okay. And then like when we were even in the studio, they were like, all right, let's stop. Let's go over this. Like, do you even know what you're doing? And Colin's like, well, I'm playing like this. And Will's like, well, Like, I just spent like last night in a hotel, like making this melody. So like, this is going to like stick to this. So let's work it out right now.
Yeah.
And fucking we pounded it out. And I think like Craig played the wrong beat to the second verse. And we're like, no, that's actually what that should be the speed of the second verse. Like it was supposed to be halftime. And we're like, and he kept going fast. We're like, no, that's fucking it. Like we should keep it going fast. So like, yeah, it worked out pretty awesome.
It was like a very fluid under pressure situation. That's the one thing that's been really great about working with these guys in this band is definitely like everyone's open to like the suggestions. There's no like it's my way or the highway. So, which is, at the end of the day, you just want to keep your guys stoked. That's how I feel about every project, because it's like you have to go play these shows in front of people in a bar in front of like 10 people. And that can be rough in general. So let's have a good time doing it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so far the response to the record has been like really, really positive, and like people are obviously drawing comparisons to like Hot Water Music, Nothing Tin. People are saying like sometimes Leatherface or like Small Brown Bike, that kind of thing. And it's kind of like that kind of gravelly vocals, kind of smoky vocals with like the heartfelt kind of introspective kind of like, for lack of a better word, like fest core, like org core kind of sound. Like, I mean, I don't really know if I know.
Yeah, the next record we're gonna make for you is gonna be a pop one.
I love it.
I'm just kidding.
We'll go full Green Day. It'll be
not Green Day, electronic.
Oh, electronic.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, dude. You know what? Let's get weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah. We've already used guitars. We don't need any more guitars. It'll be all electronic.
Sid, I'm out of the band.
Yeah. I mean, you could just pivot and become a ska band. I mean, ska seems to be like everywhere nowadays. So,
sick.
Yeah. But, next scars,
Love it. Bad one.
But,
Delocated?
I'm sorry?
Have you seen the TV show Delocated?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, dude. It's so good. We'll talk about it later. It's so good. Okay. But there's an episode where he throws a bar mitzvah for his son, or his son like decides he wants to throw a bar mitzvah, but it's like a ska mitzvah.
Awesome.
And there's like all these great like ska puns, like Skazeltov. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to throw the next ska shirt on the Sell the Heart side. It's gonna happen.
Well, you could always just do like an EP of ska versions, of a couple of the songs and call it Next Ska.
I don't know how to do
that. Yeah, I think Randy did that. The band Randy from Sweden?
Yeah, I remember Randy. Yeah, for sure.
They were on Fat, right?
They eventually put out a record on Fat when they were like a rock and roll band, but like they did do a Sky EP.
Yeah. Well, you know that I know. You know, Ska Tune Network. You know, have you heard of Ska Tune Network?
No, I haven't.
No. Yeah. Ska Tune Network is this individual, you know, who does a bunch of, you know, ska versions of like really popular songs.
Cool.
They have a YouTube channel and it's blown up. You know, it's pretty huge actually. But their whole idea is that essentially they can take ska and, you know, make any song ska, which they're not wrong. You know, you can do that with kind of any genre really, but with ska, I think in particular, I know that part of the premise there is that, you know, historically ska did rely on like a lot of covers back in the day. And I don't know. I mean, I love ska. I think that if it's done tastefully and done well, like it actually translates really great, but sometimes it's kind of cringy. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like Les and Jake was like they were one of the first bands I saw at Roseland, and like, I was like, it was like a life-changing moment, the punk and ska together. And then like later in life, I was playing with my buddy Sammy Kay, and we went on tour with the Slackers, and that was amazing. Like, those guys are incredible, and I think I have a full appreciation for it. Like, definitely.
Yeah, and ska's done well, it's awesome, you know,
it's killer. Like, yeah, We Are the Union rules. Like, any of the new bands I'm checking out, I'm digging it, and it's a good vibe. It's fun too.
And Streetlight.
Yeah, Streetlight. Like,
I mean, the Boston
Catch 22 was like the biggest thing in New Jersey when we were kids. Like, at one point, like, insane. Like,
right. Yeah, and you know, it's so funny about a band like Catch 22. I know that I talked about this on a different episode with somebody, but like, Catch 22 was just one of those bands that I never really got into, and you know, it wasn't from a lack of like not knowing who they were. I just never really had the bandwidth. But on the East Coast, they were just enormous. You know, like they were like the biggest thing. And it's just kind of weird how that plays out sometimes. But you heard it here, folks. Next ska is coming up. No, next album. I'll have it on vinyl for you soon. You know, and by soon, I mean 2 years from now, because vinyl is completely backed up. But anyways, yeah, no, this is all awesome, dude. And like, I appreciate you guys kind of sharing a little bit of the backstory of the band. So a couple of questions I like to throw out to every guest here. If you had to name a couple of artists that maybe a couple each that you think need to be on people's radars, who would they be?
Ooh.
You want to start?
So these are like under, like, what about our friends bands maybe?
Yeah.
Sure. So it could be anyone that you think is just a really great band that you think need to be on.
Tired Radio from Brooklyn. I mean, I love that record.
Yeah, I told Will, I watched like their music video and they're like, they're just like fucking like smoking cigs, and like I was like, yo, Will, we gotta fucking play with these guys.
We became fast friends with those guys. Mm-hmm. We've like met, we've hung out, and like they're great guys. And I'm actually doing a show with we're playing with me and Anthony are playing Tire Radio Next Scars acoustic. We're playing with Brendan Kelly in Brooklyn on August 19th at the Arrogant Swine. And so, yeah, I was like, I told the promoter, I was like, I just hit him up. I was like, can we both play this? And he was like, he only wants one. I'm like, so let Anthony play it. And he was like, well, they're not giving me an answer if they want one or two, so you're both playing it. So I was like, all right, awesome.
There you go.
So they're really great. Homies in American Thrills from Milford, Connecticut. I have a long history with those guys. I was in bands with those guys. They're really great. They're a discount casket, 7 inches out. We're playing August 6th with them in Crunch House in Westport.
That new the Humanity record, they're fucking sick.
Record, dude. So
really good. Yeah, we're playing with them this week. They're fucking, that's very good.
Under the radar bands. God Damn It from Philly, Eric Owens Creep. Great songs. They got a new one coming out. Check out their old stuff on Spotify. They're Old Dogs from Connecticut.
Oh, Dehumanizer is their name. Yeah.
Disqualifier. Really great. Like, really technical skate punk.
Yeah, they're such cool. My hardcore band played with them in Connecticut, like, 2 years ago, and fucking they were just so cool. And me and Will ran into like the bass player at a Kill Your Idol show. I was like, Will, this is the guy from that band I told you about.
Yeah, great. They're really their record sounds great. I think they do it up in where American Thrills does it. Dude from The World is a Beautiful Place records them. Up in like Litchfield, Connecticut, or someplace far out. But yeah, we're stoked. We're gonna play with them on Saturday. We have a weekend with them and this other awesome band from Connecticut called Zombie. Our buddy Jeremy's in Zombie. He also plays with our buddy Kyle Trocola and the Strangers. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on in like the bars in the Northeast Connecticut, New York area and stuff like that. And another band that I think everyone should check out because I have all their records. We're going to be doing some stuff with them. A band called Nightmares for a Week from Kingston, New York. And
fuck yeah.
They're like, I don't know. If you don't know them, you'll fall in love with all their records. They're like, they're just amazing. I've had the pleasure of like touring with them in another band. And Sean Paul actually he tracked part of Don't Panic.
Yeah, he did the vocals.
Yeah, he's in The Inevitables. And he's also plays in Zombie Apocalypse on top of that, which is a other Shai Hulud band. So he's and he's great. He's probably one of the most talented people I know. He's a phenomenal engineer. We're so happy with the work he's done. And John Declario too.
Sweet. Yeah. I mean, that's a great list. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you guys have a pretty like tight knit group of bands that you've been like kind of working closely with and like building up. So that's awesome to hear. Last question that I like to throw out to everyone. And I know that people either love this or hate this. So, if you only had 5 records you could listen to the rest of your life, what would they be? And since there's 2 of you, why don't we kind of like just go back and forth, you know?
Oh, nice.
I'll start off with this. I was 18 years old, the Generation Records in the Lower East Side of New York City, and they had a CD station, and that was the first time I heard Hot Water Music's No Division. And Walter Schreifels produced that record, and I loved Quicksand, and I think that is, to me, that was my entry to the Hot Water Music, and it only got better from that point on.
Nice.
I'm wearing a Propagandhi shirt.
All right, sick. I'll do Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes. Propagandhi, fucking
brilliant album.
Yeah, I saw them on that tour, and yeah, blew my mind. They played 2 shows in 1 night at the Wetlands in New York City, fucking matinee, and then and after a night show, they fucking, the second set they went on at midnight, fucking ruled. It was, wow, like 15, 16 years old in the front row, fucking screamed my head off, and I ran on stage and fucking brought him on stage for the encore, just like for no reason, just ran on stage, grabbed the microphone, just started screaming and fucking.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely am gonna throw the Replacements, Tim. Mm. All the Replacements records. I mean, that is like, to me, that, I mean, that's definitely like as punk and songwriter as it gets with anything Paul Westerberg does. But that record really spoke to me. And well, yeah, I don't know.
Do Megadeth, Rest in Peace. Fucking one of my buddies got a Jeep in high school and came up to me and he's like, hey man, I just bought this Jeep and this cassette was in there. He's like, I'm not really into it, but he's like, I think you're gonna love it. And I fucking put it in my cassette player and started with side B, which is Poison Secure. And fucking put it on. I was like, oh, so this is what Strung Out listens to. So,
yeah.
I was like, that record fucking blew my mind. Like, as a guitar player, fucking out of control.
Yeah, and definitely as like someone that like ventures more into like a little more of the roots stuff, I guess, like I would say Lucero's Tennessee. I mean, like, I'm always bringing, I write a lot of these songs on acoustic. I write most songs on acoustic guitar, and definitely that record is just, that's records like really magic and really makes you appreciate like a raw cut of a record. And then you listen to them now and they have like these really beautifully produced records, but those records are so honest. And I think all the records we threw up there are pretty honest. So that's a really important thing.
I'll do Bad Religion, Against the Grain.
So good.
Fucking, that album's really cool because I think, I don't know if the drummer wrote a song on that record, but I think everybody else wrote fucking songs for that record. Like even Jay Bentley has like a song on there, and yeah, it's pretty fucking, yeah, that's the best Bad Religion record.
I mean,
not that any of them suck, but yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to choose one from Bad Religion because they have many that are incredible, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
The new ones even hit hard.
It's awesome, dude.
I'm just like, it's fantastic. Wow. Yeah. I'm like, here, take my money. I want to buy all the colors.
Dude, I'm a Bad Religion fan for life, like forever.
Yeah.
Like
the greatest,
they're,
dude.
They're easily one of the best punk rock bands in history, like top 10, no question. Yeah.
What was the last Greg Graffin's Millhouse or Mills? He wrote the solo record, his last one. I forgot the name of the record.
I'm not sure.
Check out that record.
Hmm. It's like the folk song.
And the one before,
right?
That, the Weaker Thens were his backing
band. Oh, dude. Yeah. Cold as Clay. That's a very.
The Weaker Thens were his backing band.
I remember I got that on my 21st birthday after I saw Less Than Jake the night before. Pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Who's next?
We got two more from each of you. So,
all right, definitely. 24-hour revenge therapy, Jawbreaker. I mean, that was like, that was my entry right into Dear You, and when I was like 15 years old, and I was like, it's just incredible how raw it was. And Dear You, when I heard Dear You, I was like, yeah, these songs are really good and they sound really good. But that record really is always, I think most Jawbreaker fans gravitate towards that record, like big Jawbreaker fans. I love it, but Dear You is a masterpiece in itself.
Yeah,
which I own on.
Did you manage to catch them live since they've come back?
Yes, I saw them at the what's that venue in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn Steel. Yeah,
I saw them at Brooklyn Steel, and I saw them with War on Women in Sayreville, New Jersey. Nice. And a really cool band from Florida. I forgot the name of it. It was cool though. Jawbreaker only took female fronted bands on that one. So it was it was awesome.
I saw them with Charlie Bliss, I think. Cool. Do Descendants All. I think that's cool Descendants record because it's like a fucking Beatles record. They got like rock and shit, and then they got like pop songs, but then they got like some weird songs on that record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like Iceman and shit like that. Like awesome. That record's very cool.
I think another one I would probably say would be the Drive-By Truckers, Brighter Than Creation's Deep. I love that band. I mean, I think I've always wanted to be in a band like that at the end of the day, but it's just really great punk rock, country infused songwriting. And they're one of my favorite bands to see live. They kind of remind me of like them and Lucero seemed to have like been like these guys that really like to drink and have a good time on stage. So like these really great sounding like sober guys now on stage, it's really awesome. So you see them now and they're just like, every time I see both those bands, it's always been like, wow, these guys are just like unstoppable. As they get older, they just got better with time.
Totally.
Is that your last one?
That's
my last
one. Oh, I got one more. Diesel Boy, Suffolk King Cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
Awesome.
fucking love that record. I think I got Cock Rock like in the store. I fucking saw it and I was like stoked. And then I ordered Venus Envy and then... But then, like, I got Suffolk King Cool, and it was, like, the production from Venus Envy into Suffolk King Cool. I think they got a new drummer on Suffolk King Cool, too.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that fucking, yeah. Melanie Banks, fuck, yeah. And then, the ending, fucking,
with the violin. The
symphony. Yep. So I'll go with fucking Diesel Boy.
I'm really glad.
Talk about underrated bands of, like, all time, like, clearly.
Yeah, Diesel Boy was one of those bands that I was, funny story. So my old band, California Redemption, who used to play shows with Next to Nothing, we actually shared a rehearsal studio with Diesel Boy for a number of years.
Wow,
and, man, that's fucking wild.
Yeah, we got to know them a little bit. Great dudes, and I 100% hard agree with you. Like, very underrated, like, pop punk band from, like, that era that, you know, like whenever they get brought up, I remember like whenever I see them online get brought up, people are like, oh, dude, Diesel Boy, whatever to Diesel Boy. And like, so everyone loves them, but they never really achieved the same status as like, you know, like NoFX or like the bigger names on Fat, but they were easily just as good as any of those bands, you know, like.
Yeah, in my neighborhood, like, you know? All like the kids that skated, like we all fucking loved, like in my fucking neighborhood, everybody loved Diesel Boy. Like we all totally. Just thought they were like.
Bracket too, another great
like, Bracket, exactly.
Bracket, yeah. Another great band that got like shifted under the radar with like all the fat hypeness, which, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm a fat enthusiast, but definitely great band. Those guys write like really great songs too. Do you remember a band called Benton Falls?
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah,
I know Mike Richardson. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember like we played with them and they stayed across the street at SUNY Purchase from where we're at with Jay, who used to be in my old band. And we were talking at night and he was telling me, he was like, yeah, he bought his SG from one of the dudes in Diesel Boy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those guys are from the same hood, like Santa Rosa, California.
Santa Rosa.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Mike Richardson's great. Super talented dude. Benton Falls was
awesome.
He's
in LA, right? He's like he writes music, right?
Yeah, I know he lives in LA now, and I know that he's doing some music stuff, but I don't think he's really doing anything like, you know, like going on tours or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, we played a couple shows with them. Like, it just happened to be we were on both shows that weekend, and I was like super fan because of the Emo Diaries, and their mm-hmm. records were just like, it's definitely one of the best three pieces I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're a pretty storied band from that area. Santa Rosa and like that North Bay music scene, especially like from like the mid 90s through like even now there's still a ton of great bands, but like it's always kind of been like this spot that's had a lot of really talented musicians. And some pretty notable bands have come from that area, like Diesel Boy, Bracket, Velveteen, Benton Falls, you know, Tsunami Bombs from there originally. So yeah, it's gotten a lot of attention in that regard. But yeah, Wilt, Justin, been awesome having you on the show. I'm again super stoked to be working with you guys. I think Don't Panic is a fantastic record. I can't wait to see what you guys come out with next. You know, stoked on your guys' new shows, and we'll get you on the road here soon and hopefully talk to you guys.
Thank you and Sell the Heart for everything you've done to make this all happen.
Likewise, it's been a great experience. The pleasure is literally on this side of the table.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we got to give a huge shout out to David and Engineer Records too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So he's helping out with a ton of stuff. So big props to him. But we'll talk to you guys later.
Have a great one, bud.
Later.
Trust a family that